Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Isabella Garrido, Jaya Kumar, and Abyaz Karim. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christine Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. On Council's agenda for their Tuesday night meeting, Councillor Connie Glenn and Councillor Lisa Osanek have put forward a motion to cease the city's use of the social media platform X. As of February 1, 2025, the city turned off replies and direct messaging on the platform for the City of Kingston and Kingston Transit accounts. In the release from the city announcing the change, entitled Prioritizing Positive Communication, Why We're Turning Off Replies on X, the city cited increased numbers of spam accounts following and messaging the city and inflammatory and abusive comments from users on the platform as the reasoning behind the decision. Jen Panarski, Manager of Communications and Public Engagement with the City, had the following to say about the decision in an interview with CFRC shortly after the announcement.
What comments and messages drove this decision, and who or where were they coming from?
So we've been tracking over the last couple of months a lot, big change in user behaviors on X. We think that could be potentially due to changes in the algorithm. We've also seen an increase in spam accounts or bot accounts. So what that ends up happening to our staff is we will receive anywhere up to 1,000 or sometimes 2,000 messages a month on X. And sometimes those aren't very productive conversations. Sometimes we're tagged in something that is like we are in the wrong Kingston, because there's also a Kingston, Jamaica, and there's also a Kingston, London. So we were actually just getting a lot of noise. And so by turning off comments and replies, that helps our staff then redirect their focus on other platforms like Meta, where we have more productive conversations.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're seeing big changes to a lot of social media platforms, including Meta. I was wondering what kind of conversations you're having internally about social media on a larger scale.
No, that's a great question. So social media is by far one of the largest platforms that we have to be able to connect with the community. And we know that people on each of those platforms are all a little bit different. So for example, folks on Meta, they tend to be sort of in a younger demographic versus those on X or other channels tend to be a little bit older. We also use YouTube and emails and newspaper ads to reach a broad demographic. So to answer your question specifically about Meta, we know that there's a lot of changes happening at the policy level on Meta, and we're watching those carefully really to safeguard staff and community members from any non-productive conversations that could happen there.
Mm-hmm. And was it mostly bots and spam that kind of led to this decision, or was it also maybe just comments that weren't productive that were actually from people?
We do, unfortunately, do receive some abuse on social media. We have, you know, humans behind every conversation, and we have a really dedicated social media team. So part of that in protecting the well-being of city staff, that was another reason why we chose to remove replies on X.
Mm-hmm. And you found it was X specifically where you were getting more of these abusive comments compared to other platforms?
I would like to say it's X alone. Sometimes when, as a municipality, we introduce projects or initiatives that the community does not like, for sure, social media is a way that they reach out and let us know that they're unhappy with a decision. We have absolutely mechanisms to try and take in some of that feedback, specifically our public engagement platform. And there's always opportunities for you there to share, you know, your input about a project. We really do try and encourage people to have a positive interaction with us. So sometimes that's just a matter of, you know, encouraging people to read through a project or read through a report before they offer feedback on social media, just so that they have a really full understanding of why we're doing something that we're doing in the municipality.
And did you find when X was Twitter that this was different, or that the landscape was different even a year ago, or was it kind of always building up to this and now was just the time where you said enough is enough?
That's a really good question. So we've been monitoring changes in social media. It's just part of our business practice here in communications and public engagement. We have noticed an escalation or increasing number of spam accounts on X in particular, more so in the last 6 months, last year. X is the platform that was the most disruptive in terms of those fake accounts or spam or abuse. And that's why we chose to turn off replies specifically on X at this time.
The motion being considered by council tonight will take this a step further, completely withdrawing from X. In addition to the reasoning for turning off comments and replies, the motion lists X and the corporation's owner, Elon Musk, as being in conflict with, quote, the municipal values of evidence-based decision-making and diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility, as well as a sharp 18% decline in engagement on X in the last few months. Kingston is not the only Canadian municipality having this discussion, with Cambridge and the District of North Vancouver already leaving the platform and many other municipalities considering the move. Should the council vote for the city to exit X entirely, the city will still have other ways of connecting with Kingstonians, including other social media platforms.
So there's always lots of different ways to be able to connect with the city. So our customer experience line, that's actually one of the best ways to try and reach out to the city if you have a question or concern about something. They're able to pick up the phone or respond to a service request. We redid our website in May 2024, and so it's much more user-focused on really that quick information that people are looking for in order to do business or even live and work and play in the city. And we're finding a lot of success in really meeting with community members, going to in-person meetings, our public engagement platform, print, posters in community. So social media has always been one way that we connect with community members. It's never just been the only way. So that's what we try and remind people is municipal government really is one of the most accessible levels of government in Canada. And we're always here. We're always listening.
This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.
Good evening, folks. This is Abiyaz from CFRC News, and you are listening to our segment, Campus Corner. Here we bring you the latest updates from Queen's Campus. Tonight, we are covering Secondhand Shuffle, a Queen's initiative that reduces waste while helping students and the community. As the school year ends, many students have items they'll no longer need. But instead of sending them to the landfill, this event gives them a second life. Students can drop off unwanted items, others can pick up what they need for free, and local charities will collect leftovers. I'll be speaking with Marianne Tierney, off-campus living advisor, and Elizabeth Higgins, a student intern with Queen's Facilities, about how this initiative is making a difference. Stay tuned. Hello Marianne and Elizabeth, thanks for joining us in our studio. May you quickly introduce yourself for our audience?
Hi, my name is Marianne and I'm the off-campus living advisor here at Queen's.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth and I'm the sustainability intern working with Queen's Facilities.
Amazing, it's lovely to meet you too. So let's dive straight to the event. For students who may not be familiar with the event, can you start by telling our listeners what the Secondhand Shuffle event is all about and why is it such an important initiative at Queen's University?
Of course. So the Secondhand Shuffle is a waste reduction initiative intended to rehouse quality items no longer wanted or needed by our students. Otherwise, they would likely go to landfill. This event targets Queen's students who are encouraged to bring their unwanted items and take other available items. Community members are also welcome to take items during specific event dates. All items are free, which removes financial barriers and provides equal access to all of our participants. This is especially impactful for students who are making the transition from residence to living off campus. Our event provides a designated place to drop off a variety of items, which reduces the likelihood of illegal dumping on and off campus, right, in addition of saving it from the landfill. And in addition, local charities here in Kingston will be invited to pick up items on designated days.
What a wonderful initiative. So what kind of items can people donate or pick up, and how do they contribute to both sustainability and community building?
Yeah, so any items in good shape or that are not severely damaged or broken can be donated. And these can fall under categories like clothing, household items, small appliances, small electronics, furniture on Sundays, etc. And this really supports sustainability through circular economy values, such as keeping products in use as long as possible. We're targeting like the reuse of items. And this really builds community because we're keeping these items in Kingston, students living off campus, community members and charities. So it's all distributed within this community.
Wow. So Elizabeth, when we were talking off air, I understood that you have been deeply involved in bringing this event to life, ensuring it runs smoothly and benefits those who participate. Reflecting on your experience, what has been the most rewarding aspect of organizing it? Additionally, based on the past editions, how has this event made a positive impact on students and the broader community?
So this is actually my first year participating in Shuffle and assisting with student affairs, but it's been a really great experience learning how Queen's supports these sustainability initiatives and gets students involved. It's a great opportunity for anyone looking to support sustainability, but also themselves when moving out and decluttering and such. And so how this has impacted students. In 2024, there were 2,560 items donated and weighing a total of 9,096 kilograms and valued at approximately $126,000.
Wow.
So we've been able to divert that much weight from landfill and saving students and community members a lot of money.
Great. So far from everything you have shared, it's clear that sustainability is a major priority for this event. You have put a lot of thought into making it both impactful and environmentally responsible. Can you walk us through the specific steps you are taking to ensure it stays eco-friendly and minimizes waste effectively?
Yeah, definitely. So as a student, I've experienced move out and move in from residents, and I know that it can generate a lot of waste. So we're providing a venue for students to drop off items, a designated space to allow for this sustainable action. Remaining items from these days, like Marianne said, can go to community members and charities. And broken or damaged items, we will be helping students figure out where to put these. Any items that aren't taken in from the secondhand shuffle, there will be resources available to direct people as to where to go.
Wonderful. That actually sounds like a really thought out plan. So lastly, how can our listeners get involved? And what would you say to bring more people to the event who are unsure about donating or attending this event this year?
That's a great question. So if you are a student, you're more than welcome to drop off items or pick up items on the designated days. So please follow our website for information. We have expanded the event this year to include more days than in the past. So please follow our website to make sure that, you know, we're accepting a certain item on a certain day or what our times are each day, because they will vary from time to time. And we're also looking for students and community members to volunteer. So if you have some extra time and you're available, we are looking for volunteers. So please, again, follow our website. We will have information up there shortly on how to volunteer. And we have a form that you can fill out to complete. You can also follow us on social media. It's Queens OCLA on Instagram. Or you can just reach out to our office with any questions. Again, follow our website on what's accepted or how to get involved. Volunteers and event coordinators are very happy to help and provide resources to help you manage your items and answer any of your questions. So please don't hesitate to reach out either in advance or pop by the event and ask your questions there.
Perfect. This actually brings us to the very end of our segment. Thank you, you two. Thanks for joining us in studio today. Best of luck with the event.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And we'll see you at the secondhand shuffle.
For sure. I'm moving houses at the end of this month, so I actually have a few things to donate. And that's a wrap, folks. We were conversing with the organizers of Secondhand Shuffle. I'm Abiyaz from CFRC News, and you were listening to our segment, Campus Corner. Stay tuned for more updates. Over to Isabella for sports after.
This is Jesse Bell with your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Monday, April 14th continued the trend of beautiful weather here in the city of Kingston with a daytime high of 11 degrees and a mix of sun and cloud, dropping down to 4 overnight with a 60% chance of showers. And that rain remains consistent into Tuesday, April 15th, daytime high of 8 degrees with a 40% chance of showers throughout the day, dropping below 0 to minus 1 overnight with a 40% chance of flurries. Wednesday, April 16th, a little cooler, 5 degrees with a mix of rain and flurries in the forecast, dropping down to minus 2 overnight. Thursday, April 17th, we're back to the beautiful weather, daytime high of 9 degrees and it will be sunny, dropping down to 1 overnight. Friday, April 18th, still staying steady at 9 degrees but a 60% chance of showers throughout the day, dropping down to 4 overnight. Saturday, April 19th, another double-digit day with a 30% chance of precipitation, but it is going to be warm and quite nice otherwise. Sunday, April 20th, sunny with a daytime high of 9. And Monday, one of the nicest days of the year thus far, it's going to be 13 with a mix of sun and cloud. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. Reduced load restrictions are still in effect in Kingston. Heavy trucks and loads are restricted on city roads where posted. These restrictions help reduce damage to roads in the spring. A complete list of roads with restrictions can be found in the traffic bylaw section of the City of Kingston website. Road closures for the week. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Albert Street, 500 to 472 is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Victoria Street, Union 2 Johnson is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Queen Street, Ontario to King Street East is closed for the dismantling and removal of the tower crane at 18 Queen Street, weather permitting. Berry Street, Queen Street to Colborne is closed for demobilization of equipment at the 283 Queen Street site. And Main Street, Ann to Ellis, is closed to facilitate the installation of a new gas service by Utilities Kingston. Here are some other delays to be aware of. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club, expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Please be aware of lane shifts, traffic speed limits, and share the lane signage. Gardner's Road, Centennial, and Creekford. Expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence. Expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Montreal Street at John Counter. Expect delays for upgrades to the intersection including new lighting, traffic signals, lanes, paving, and signage to improve safety and efficiency for all road users and accommodate increased traffic from the Wabin Crossing. Victoria Street and Earl Street to Union Street and Johnson Street. Expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to site to start work on the second phase of reconstruction of sewer, water main, sidewalks, and road.
Hello everyone, my name is Henry, CFRC intern from the Department of History. We're going through this week's concerts and events calendars. Starting with concerts, on Monday, the Dave Barton Trio will be playing at the RCHA from 4:30 to 6:30. Also on Monday, the Mourning Doves will be playing at Musiki from 8 to 11. After that, on Tuesday, the Spectrum Voices Choir will be hosting its 2SLGBTQ+ open mic at the Grad Club starting at 6 p.m. As usual, the club at the RCHA will be hosting its Tom's Tuesday Afternoon Happy Hour Jam from 4 to 7. Also on Tuesday, the Toucan is having bands Sunshine Makers and Lavender Town on from 9:30 to 1 a.m. On Wednesday, Whiskey Smoke will be playing a gig at the Buckle starting at 7:30. Hotel Wolf Island will also be running its usual open mic night from 8:30 to 11:30. Also on Wednesday, the Kingston Grand, as part of their Grand On Stage series, will have performers of the Classic Albums Live Concert Series playing the Fleetwood Mac album Rumours. This performance starts at 7:30 p.m., with tickets available on the Grand's website for around between $44 and $55. Frank Ryan is also scheduled to play Wednesday night between 8 and 11 at Musiki. On Thursday, Trailer Swift Band will be playing at The Buckle from 8 to 11 p.m. The Ukulele Orchestra of Great Britain is scheduled to perform at the Isabel Bader at 7:30 Thursday evening. Tickets for said performance are available for between $15 and $35 on the Isabel's website. Also on Thursday, three bands, B.A. Johnston, Owl Farm, and The Strange Happenings, will be playing at The Mansion. Tickets for the show, starting at 9 p.m., are available for around $10 on Ticketscene or for $15 at the door. The Toucan also has some live performers lined up for Thursday night, with Sarah Jane Riley and Dylan Ireland performing from 9:10 to 1 as part of their Rules for the Collective Good tour. After that, on Friday, band Cheyenne Twink will be playing a concert at the Broom Factory. The show, starting at 7:30, has tickets available on Ticketscene for around $25. Also on Friday, the blues/rock group Hellhound Trail will be playing at the RCHA starting at 8 p.m. On Saturday, Frank Ryan is on to play a set or two at Tiernanog from 7 to 9. The Boo Radley Project will also be returning to the Toucan Saturday night for a show running from 10:30 to 2. Also Saturday night, the Marion Drexler Band will be playing at the RCHA starting at 8. On Sunday, Neil Carter will be performing a collection of classics at Spearhead Brewery from 2 to 5, and later on, Savannah Shea will be playing at Musiki from 4:30 to 6:30. Have a concert you would like to add to our online and on-air concert calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. Again, I'm Henry, CFRC intern for the Department of History. We're continuing with today's concert and events calendars. For events, coming up on Monday, Queen's Musical Theater will continue its run of Heather's the Musical at the Grand Theater, with tonight's show starting at 7:30. Performances are set to continue through the week till the 17th. Both One-Eyed Jacks and The Brass will be hosting their weekly trivia night starting at 7:45 and 8 p.m. respectively. Also on Monday, the Lodgers and Joggers Run Group also meets at Fine Balance Brewing Company at 7 p.m. On Tuesday, Euchre Night is happening at Daft Brewing from 7 to 9 p.m. The Kingston Public Market runs at Springer Market Square from 8:30 to 4 p.m. Also on Tuesday, the Lululemon Weekly Fun Run meets at 270 Princess Street starting at 5:30. After that, on Wednesday, folks can head down to Musiki, which is hosting its weekly life drawing event. Don't forget to bring your own art supplies and $5 and participate in uninstructed life drawing. Also on Wednesday, One-Eyed Jacks will be hosting Board Game Night starting at 7, and both Something in the Water and Daft Brewing will be hosting their trivia nights, both starting at 7 p.m. On Thursday, Daft will host Queerioki from 8 to 11. Folks can also head to the Kingston Public Market, which is open from 8:30 to 4 p.m. in Springer Market Square. The Kingston Spring Night Market will also be running at Memorial Center from 4 to 8 p.m. Also on Thursday, the Out in Front Weekly Run Group will be hosting its usual public run this Thursday, starting downtown at 6:15 p.m. in front of Runner's Choice. All people are invited regardless of ability, sex, sexual orientation, or gender identity. On Friday, The Buckle and Daft Brewing will both be hosting their weekly free karaoke nights. Doors open at 9. On Saturday, Queen's PhD students will be giving a free talk in Ellis Hall at 7:30 p.m. The talk is open to the public, free, and will be followed by a tour of the Queen's Observatory. Folks can also head down to participate in Runner's Choice East End Run Group at 7:50 a.m. at the Canets Kingston Supermart, 29 Niagara Park. The Kingston Public Market also runs from 8:30 to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. On Sunday, the Runner's Choice Lawn Run starts downtown outside their store at 8:20 a.m. All ages and paces are welcome. And finally, the Memorial Center Farmers Market will take place from 9 to 1 p.m. at Memorial Center. Do you have a concert or event you would like to add to our online or on-air concerts and events calendars? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. I have been Henry, CFRC intern for the Queen's Department of History, and this has been my last broadcast of the concert and events calendars updates. Someone else will be taking over soon. I hope everyone listening has a nice summer. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear. Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.